الحمد لله حمدا يوازي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد اذا رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. اللهم لك الحمد كما يليق بجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وقرة اعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعلينا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We praise Allah and we express our gratitude to Allah in a way that is parallel to His blessings and equal to His bounties. O Allah, we praise You until You are pleased, while You are pleased, and after Your pleasure. O Allah, we praise You in a way that is befitting of You. We bear witness that there is nothing to be worshipped besides Allah alone with our partners, and we bear witness that His servant and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed the message and delivered the trust. Allah send Your prayers and peace upon our leader, our prophet, our beloved, our role model Muhammad, his family, his companions, and upon those who follow the guidance until the day of judgment. May Allah make us from among those with His mercy. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. We express our gratitude and our praise to Allah for giving us this guidance, this Islam, this way of life. And we understand that since the dawn of Islam, that calling others to this faith, to this guidance, have been one of the commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have the ayat, many, many ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered and commanded us to call others to this way. For example, one of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, after A'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, after seeking refuge by Allah, the all-hearing, the all-seeing, from shaytan the accursed, udu'u ila sabili rabbik. Call to the way of your Lord. So we understand that this is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have examples of the companions, of course, taking lead from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way they have done da'wah, in the way they have the call to Islam. So we have the example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda, who in one day called five people to Islam, and those five people have been promised Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Half of the list of one hadith that mentions 10 of the promised Jannah, five of them were called in one day by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda. And he didn't stop there. So even the second day, he went and called four or five more people. And those are the ones who carry the weight of Islam on their shoulders. Those are the ones that have helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam propagate this word, and have given example to others and to call others into Islam. And like I said, we have examples within all the Sahaba as far as how they have given this da'wah. And it's all acting according to the same ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said in the Quran, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and the best of advice. And when you debate with them or you converse with them, do it in the best of manners. Surely it is Allah who knows those who have gone astray from His path, and He surely knows those who have taken guidance. So this is the ayah that we use as a model for us when we give da'wah. That we have to give it with wisdom. We have to employ what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached people differently. When he will talk to the common person, it will be different from when he talks to the thinkers, when he talks to movers of shakers in society, when he talks to dignitaries, when he talks to people who have been sent by these dignitaries. He just treated people in a way that will fit them. He employed psychology, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the best of ways. And that is wisdom, right? To know the person you are actually trying to relay the message to, and to know what are the points that will actually touch that person's heart. That's the wisdom that we have to employ. And also, بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, giving good advice. Because some of us sometimes feel that we, you know what, we need to give some tough love. Right? And sometimes we get a little harsh with our words. And sometimes it might not seem harsh to us. But because of our lack of wisdom, sometimes we use words that might seem harsh to the other person, to the person receiving it. And that's the way we judge our words. It's not based on how I feel. It's based on how the circumstances are. Right? So this is the hikmah and al-maw'idatu al-hasana. This is the wisdom and using the best of ways to give advice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that when we have these arguments, when we have these debates, a lot of times emotions flare up and we do not use this wisdom that we might have otherwise. And we forget that the guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we forget the motto that the scholars of Islam early on had. When they debate with Muslims or non-Muslims, because we understand that da'wah is not only for non-Muslims, da'wah is for everyone including ourselves. So the motto that the scholars had was, I believe that I'm right with the possibility that I might be wrong, and I believe that my opponent is wrong with the possibility that could be right. So this is the approach that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called us to have. To know that it is Allah that knows those who are misguided from those who are guided. So we should not have that arrogance, that condescending feeling or talk where, you know what, you are lost, I need to guide you. You are ignorant, I need to guide you. That kind of behavior, that kind of attitude does not help in the da'wah at all. Whether that is to give advice to Muslims or to non-Muslims alike. And we can see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the person who has been given this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never dealt that to any person when he was giving them da'wah. He always used kindness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even some of the companions who went into da'wah, for example, there's a sahabi who was from the tribe of Dos, who came and accepted Islam and went back to his tribe that lives near Yemen. So he went back and he called them to Islam. He got his family, immediate family members to follow. In an interesting way, he went home and he said, I'm just gonna put it down and put my foot down and I'm gonna lay it after this. So he went down and he met with his father. And he said, my father, look, I can't really sit down with you anymore. And he said, my son, why? What's wrong? He's an older man. And he said, you know what? I don't worship the idols like you worship anymore. So he said, what do you believe in? So he said, I follow that man Muhammad, and he explained to him what he was. So he said, well, I'm under your religion. Whatever you follow, I follow. And he did the same thing to his wife and to his children, and they all said the same thing. But that didn't work for the rest of the tribe. So after some time, with only a few people believing in that message, he went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is upset. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my tribe, those have rejected this message. So ask Allah to punish them. He was just angry. Like, how can you not see the guidance? And sometimes we feel like that way, right? With everything that we have in life, even in dealing with our spouses or with children, sometimes we just, how can you can't see this? And we get upset. Right? And we lose sight of having this beautiful way of calling. So this companion asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask Allah to destroy them. That's it. They don't want to believe in you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hands up. And when he did, everybody who was sitting around thought, that's it. Halak al-Dawz. This Dawz have been destroyed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to ask Allah to destroy them. But instead, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them. And he said, Allahumma ahdi Dawza. Oh Allah, guide Dawz. Wa'ti bihim, and bring them to me, right? Make them come on their own accord. So, and then he told this companion, go back and call your people. Give them da'wah. And do it in the best of way. Warfuq bihim. Be gentle with them. Be gentle with them. And after that, that companion went back to his people, to those, and stayed with them for almost 10 years, giving them da'wah. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Khaybar. And that's when he said, I came back with almost my entire tribe as Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Right? Just having this way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, but having this wisdom, knowing what, how to present and what to present. Right? In a way that will look appealing. We're not quoting it or covering it in a way that is untrue. We are just presenting it in a way that, okay, if you like this aspect of, you know, things, okay, I'll present Islam in a way that will deal in the things that you like. I will bring Islam in a way that will, you will see that it will serve your interests, right? Because we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even said about the Quran that we have in it, فِيهِ تِبْيَانٌ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In it is an explanation of everything. there is the interest of every human being that's going to be found in the Quran. So why not highlight those interests to the people who are interested in those? So if somebody is interested in logic, you have companions that have been guided by logic. A lot of us know the story of Umar al-Khattab and other companions who will come sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or other companions and hear the Quran or read the Quran, and they will be taken aback by the logic in it and the beauty in it. And that's it. That's enough in its own to become Muslims. So if we know people who accept logic, we go with logic. If we know people like to look at signs and prophecies and scientific discoveries and all of these things, there are plenty in the Quran and the Hadith. So we seek that what they are interested in, and we deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that packaging. But a lot of times we get stuck when it comes to, when somebody mentions da'wah, or we say that we should do da'wah. A lot of times in our mind what we have is I need to sit down and have a lengthy discussion with someone. Right? Most of the time that's what comes to our mind when we say da'wah. That I need to prepare this 3 or up to 10 minutes of this long talk that I'm going to rehearse in front of the mirror probably a few times, that Islam calls it this, I'm just giving the etymology that I find in a dictionary, and I mimic a few words that the scholars have said, this is what Islam calls for, and probably within the 10 first seconds you've lost the interest of that person in front of you. Because you're just giving this rehearsed talk that they're not even interested in, right? But a lot of times, like I said, we get stuck that that is the way to do da'wah. I need to have 10 or 15 minutes of your time so I can tell you what Islam is. And absolutely going to be guided after this. But a lot of times we forget our character. How many of companions we know that came to Islam just based on the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the character of certain companions? Not even the Sahaba. We know actually entire countries that came into Islam later just based on the character of the Muslims that they came in contact with. Right? So we have areas all of, as far as China, Japan, and Indonesia that came into Islam with no war, not even big Islamic civilizations that came in contact with them, but a few merchants that will come and they will see the amana that they will have, the trustworthiness, the sidq, the truth that they carry, and just their mannerism. And that's it. We want to have what you have. Right? So sometimes that is the best way of doing da'wah. And a lot of times we say that actions are the best way to do da'wah. But where are our actions? We have, for example, things that we have to do in Islam. It's not even optional. It's mandatory. But we fall short as far as the Muslim community is concerned. And we are wondering why we have this stereotypical look or negative look on Islam, or the Islamophobia that we are facing. And Allah, it's because of our own lacking. It's because of our own shortcomings. So we have example of these countries that came into Islam because of a few individuals that they came across. Right? We don't even have to go far. Look at the history of this country and how Islam got propagated. You have people who came into Islam, we know in their history, the nation of Islam, who might be holding a warped or distorted kind of aqidah, but look at the few principles that they took of Islam and they applied it to the fullest. And we can see how everybody in the United States for a long period of time had a positive look on Muslims. When they see a Muslim, they had immediate respect. As soon as you say, I'm a Muslim, you are respected by the thinkers and movers and by the thugs and the hoodlums alike. They all respected Muslims. It's to the point where if you walk in a dangerous neighborhood some time back, you're a Muslim, that's it. We're going to make sure that you're going to cross safely. Just because what? The people who are known to be the nation of Islam used to stand up for justice. Used to come when it came to social justice issues, used to be at the forefront, fighting for people's rights. So people respected them. And that's what Islam is calling us to do. But we are lacking now. We look at social justice issues and Muslims are almost not there. We have a few weak voices that is not really projected into society. And when it comes to doing good into society, I mean, we give one example. Feeding the hungry. We have given so many talks on feeding the people, right? Brothers, if you can make room, inshallah, for those who are coming. So feeding the hungry is something that has been propagated since the beginning of Islam. One of the shortest surahs that we I'm hoping we all memorize, and if we don't memorize this surah, then we're in deep trouble. Surah Al-Ma'un, one of the short surahs in the Quran, it's been revealed early in the first few years in Mecca to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what does it talk about? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Do you see the one who rejects the Day of Judgment, or rejects, or disbelieves in this religion? And what was the description? Right? يَدُعُ الْيَتِينِ. He is the one who is harsh in his dealings to the orphans. Right? And in the end of the surah, what does it say? وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. And they are the one who prohibits or block giving out aid to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the surah and truly understand it, Allah linked those who go into the salah and they're not really getting anything out of it. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنُ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who are not really paying attention to their salah, whether that's mentally or physically or spiritually, not getting the most out of it. The end result is that their help to society is incomplete as well. So they're going to be the one who will treat the orphan harshly. They are the ones who are going to not give the aid, and not only that, but even will block aid from being given to others. That is the end result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have coined this together, and we really have to be attentive to those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Quran. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned feeding the poor from the very beginning of Islam. And it's to the point where one of the companions will ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ الْإِسْلَامِ خَيْرِ. What is that of Islam that is best? What is the best result that will come out of Islam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say a person who will get up entire nights of Qiyam, a person who's going to fast half of the year, none of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered what is the best out of Islam by saying, إِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامُ, feeding people who need to be fed, وَتُسَلِّمَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرِفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ, and that you will give the greeting of peace to those who you know and those who you don't know. That is Islam in a nutshell, according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But where are we from that? We have a few organizations here and there that will feed the hungry, mostly in Ramadan. A few of us might do it from time to time. If somebody comes and begs, we might get a few change and just give it to that person, and that's the extent of it. And that is one of the biggest forms of da'wah. And it's not done for the sake of da'wah, but subhanAllah, the blessings will just come through when you do this action. But again, where are we from that? So we understand that this is our lacking. When it comes to da'wah, just having the totality of the message of Islam presented in its own will be enough to guide those who want to be guided. I remember that there was a sheikh who was a known da'i. He is a known person who goes around to different countries and calls to Islam. He said, one time I was in Europe, and we had a booth, and we were, you know, giving brochures on Islam, answering questions and so on. An older man came to the table, and he was just looking at the literature on the table. So he said, we gave him a few seconds, and then we greeted him, and we said, do you have any questions about Islam? Do you want to know anything or clear any misconceptions? So the man said that I know Islam very well. I used to live in Kuwait for X amount of years, so I know Islam very well. And he said, you know what your people problem is? Now this person is talking to the sheikh. And he said, you know what your problem is as a people, as Muslims? That you guys don't practice what you preach. I lived in Kuwait all this time, and I've heard and was told all these wonderful things about Islam, but I've seen almost none of it in practice. And if you guys practice what you preach, you don't have to come to us, we will come to you. That's what he was told. And wallahi is the truth. Wallahi is the truth. If we practice the way the companions used to practice Islam, people will come into Islam in droves. I mean, it's to the point that people who used to fight against them will turn and become Muslims after their captivity, or sometimes during their captivity. And they will stay Muslim and fight for the sake of Islam afterward. So it's not like they took Islam out of fear or out of weakness, but they propelled Islam afterward because of the beauty they saw in it. I was reading earlier a story about Khalid ibn al-Walid, a very famous companion. He was leading the battles against the Romans. And in one of the battles, one of the generals of that Roman army came in the middle of the battlefield, right before the battle started, and he called out to Khalid, I need to speak to you. So Khalid radiallahu anhu arda came forward. So their horses are neck to neck, and the man wants to ask him. He said, I have a question for you. Please do not lie to me, do not cheat me, do not be deceptive. I just want to ask you a question. Did God send the sword to you down from the heavens and now you're carrying it and that's why you don't lose in any battles? That was seriously his question. He asked, did God send the sword down from the sky and now you wield that sword, so is that the reason why you don't lose? And Khalid said, no. So the man asked, well, how come they call you Saifullah, the sword of Allah? That was his nickname according between the Sahaba. So Khalid radiallahu anhu ardah gave him a beautiful response. Just to keep it brief, I'll kind of shorten it up, inshallah. So he said that Allah sent our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this beautiful guidance, and he called us to good character. Some of us rejected him from the beginning and fought against him, and I was one of those. And some of us followed him right away. And then we fought against each other until Allah would forced us to see the guidance in it, and then we accepted it. So then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that you are a sword that Allah have unsheathed against those who fight against Islam. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using your talents against those who fight against Islam. So since that day I have been called Saifullah, the sword of Allah. So then the general asked him, what is it that you call for? So subhanAllah, he's fighting against the Muslims and he hasn't really spoken to a Muslim. Just like nowadays, most of the time non-Muslims will hear about Islam from other non-Muslims. And again, that's because of our lacking. So he asked him, what do you call for? And Khalid ibn Walid gave him probably like 3 or 4 sentences. That's it. And he said, in a nutshell, he pretty much said that we are called to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and to be kind, and to do this, and to do that, and just mention a few characters that Islam calls for. When he was done with these sentences, the general actually, he was holding his shield up, just in case, right? This is a battle. When he said that, he turned it down, and he said, how can I get in? Subhanallah. Khalid ibn Walid right away took him into his tent, made wudu, and he prayed with him for 2 raka'ah. It was not prayer time, but I'm just going to show you what Islam is. And he prayed with him 2 raka'ah. And immediately after they were done, the Roman army started to attack. And they fought, and that man became a shaheed on that same day. Subhanallah. Haven't met a Muslim, haven't heard much about Islam, except for a few minutes. And that was enough for him to completely change his mind from fighting against the Muslims to accept and become one of the defenders of Islam. Subhanallah. So that's the wisdom that we have to utilize. Again, that's the beautiful way that we have to call to Islam. We have to understand the strengths that we have, the things that Islam calls for that will touch people's hearts, and we have to deliver in a way that will be pleasing to them. We have, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the dua to his way of Allah, from the call us to the way of Allah in the best of ways, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all wisdom to do this and to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of manners. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم فاستغفروا. So may Allah forgive us. الحمد لله الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض وهو على كل شيء قدير وصلى الله وسلم على نبيه الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praises to Allah to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Surely He is all the thing is competent, and peace and blessings be upon the unlettered and trustworthy prophets of Prophet Muhammad, his family, and upon his companions. Brothers, I will ask you again, please, if you have any room, to make room for those who are coming behind you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَقِرَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا إِسْفِحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. When you are asked or requested to make room in the majalis, in the seating areas, make room, Allah will make room for you in the Jannah, inshaAllah. So as we have been talking about da'wah, we understand that sometimes the actual da'wah in the stereotypical sense of actually sitting down or talking to someone and giving them clear understanding of Islam is needed. But also what's needed is to really practice Islam, to show the beauty that Islam brings to society. So one of the things that I want to point out, if you look at the Quran and look at the way that the Quran corrects the things that we do wrong, a lot of times we are asked to do kafara on expiation for some of the sins we do. So you have the Quran that will say if you do such and such act, you must ask forgiveness, but just asking Allah to forgive you is not enough. You have to do something to wipe out that sin. And let's look at those things that Allah called us to do. Most of the time we are asked to either free a slave. Right? If you are not able to, then you move on to the next thing, which is to feed people. If you're not able, move to the next thing. Clothe people. And if you're not able to, then the last of it is to fast. Right? That's usually the formula in the Quran. So if you look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us three chances after we have done wrong, right, to actually better the society first. So first we have to free slaves. If not, feed hungry. If you can't feed hungry, you don't have the food, you have to clothe them. You have to bring benefit to society in order for you to really grow. And if you have absolutely no way of benefiting society, then at least work on your own self by fasting. SubhanAllah. That is wallahi wisdom in Sharia. There's a lot of wisdom in the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. A lot of times we just act without really knowing the wisdom. And sometimes we try to question without really actually carrying out the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there should be a marriage between the two. We hear and we obey, but we also try to seek the wisdom of why we are asked to do things this way we are doing it. Right? So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in us seeking forgiveness, He is trying to get us to benefit society. SubhanAllah. So, if we are professing to be Muslims, professing to be those who got the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shouldn't we love for others to give this guidance as well? And if we are actually professing to have this guidance, shouldn't this guidance show in our way that we deal with society? Shouldn't show that when the Muslims are involved, things get better? That's the way it should be. And alhamdulillah, it used to be for a very long time. When Muslims used to be involved in anything, it got better. When it comes to science, to art, to everything, you name it, Muslims have had the foremost in it at a certain time. But now that we are getting further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His guidance, the further we are in the back of the list of those who help society. So now that's why we are looked at as people who are angry, people who are not benefiting society in any way. I mean, look, for example, let's just compare our work, and we are the ones who say we are guided by Allah. How many of us here have actually went to volunteer to feed some hungry people? And how often do we do that? How many times did we volunteer our time to go and give da'wah? Actually physically going to just give da'wah and nothing else. Where you have people in different churches, mashallah. We have to envy them when it comes to that. They will spend days, sometimes weeks, sometimes even years, giving nothing but da'wah to their religion. With no pay, complete volunteer. So if we are the ones that have guidance, shouldn't we be the foremost in that? You have also churches that will feed the hungry every single week, if not every day. Where are our masajid when it comes to that? If you ask people who are needy on the street right now, and you tell them, look, you have a need, somebody's going to fulfill it. And you give them an option between a church and a masjid, where do you think they will go? That should be a wake-up call. If they choose the church every single time, that means we are not doing what we're supposed to do. Far from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about this. If somebody is going around here needing guidance, and we come in contact, and we don't show them anything that will give them any interest in Islam, we will be questioned about that. If we have somebody who is hungry, who is walking by, and we have all these Muslims who are professionals and got, mashallah, wealth, and that person goes hungry, well, wallahi, we will be asked about that. It's to the point where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he is not a believer, he is not a believer, he is not a believer. Who, ya Rasulullah? The ones who goes to sleep and his neighbor is hungry. And his neighbor does not have to be the person living right next door. The person that lives in the area around him. Right? If they go hungry and we are here and we have the ability to help, wallahi will be asked. And our iman will be completely stripped away. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how can we say we believers and we show no care to others? SubhanAllah. So I ask you all to keep the da'wah to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your mind. Be conscious of it all the time. Because a lot of times now we have statistics. When people are asked, how many Muslims have you met? Most people will say, I've never met a Muslim in the United States. The great majority of the Americans say they have not met a Muslim. And I know that's not to be true. First of all, we, mashallah, we have Muslims all across the country. And we have, I mean, just look at doctors alone. What's the percentage of Muslim doctors in the United States? There's just no way that all these Americans have not met a Muslim. So it has to be something else. It has to be that we are not telling them that we're Muslims. Right? We are shying away. I'm afraid that of having this awkward conversation of asking my supervisor or my co-workers that I need 5 or 10 minutes to do salah. So I would just be quiet, let the prayer time goes out, and I would do it later home and bunch it up all at home. Right? Or I'm not going to ask for Jum'ah, or just kind of add it to the lunch or whatever. We just find ways to get around telling people that, hey, this is what Islam is asking me to do, and I'm going to do it, and I'm proud of it. A lot of times we're trying to find ways to avoid that. Subhanallah. If you look at the Quran, and this will be my last name, we ended this inshallah. We look at, for example, Salah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandated the Salah of Al-Khawf, the prayer of fear, that when you're in the battlefield, waiting for the opponents to come and attack you, and your life is in the line, on the line, Salah still does not get delayed. You have a specific way of doing Salah in the battlefield. So how can we say, I have 6 more hours to do at work, I have to avoid Salah? It just does not add up. It does not make sense. Right? If we look at all aspects of our deen and how the companions went for great lengths and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the best way to perform it, and we think we have other ways that are better for us to have our Islam, then we have to question what we think Islam is. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who gain this guidance and follow the best from within. رَبَّنَا آتِ قُلُوبَنَا تَقْوَاهَا اللهم آتِ قُلُوبَنَا تَقْوَاهَا وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. O Allah, give our hearts the taqwa that it needs and purify. You are the best one who purified. أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا. You are the sole protector of the hearts. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. O Allah, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us, and give us from your dunya mercy, surely you are the sustainer. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. O Lord, give us good in this life and good in the next, and protect us from the hellfire. اللهم نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم, ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. O Allah, we ask you of all that is good for us, that what we know, that what we don't know, soon and later. O Allah, we seek refuge by everything that is bad and evil for us, that we know and that what we don't know, that is what is soon and that is what comes later. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa aqim as-salah.